So, Richard, I see you lurking at the back there. You can come on up. Take a moment to welcome Richard Taylor back to a stage that he's spent a fair bit of time on in his previous incarnations as a member of the board of directors of LGLA and also as executive director of the Union of BC Municipalities. Richard is currently vice chair of BC Assessment. He has, in addition to having worked for many years at UBCM, and being on the LGLA board, he has spent a lot of time on other municipal organizations. So he's currently a trustee on the Municipal Pension Plan Board, a director on Pacific Blue Cross, and he was chair of those organizations, as well as being on the BC Pension Corporation. And Richard is going to talk to you a little bit about the role of BC Assessment. So thank you. Richard.
Thanks, Nicola. Actually, I think I'm now well-suited to launch a defamation suit against Tom Barnes. So we're going to talk a little bit about BC Assessment and what one of our mottos is, that we value BC. So where is the little clicker gone? Just a couple of little introductory comments. Actually, BC Assessment is a founding member of the Local Government Leadership Academy. We really believe in supporting the training of the local elected officials, both at the staff and at the elected official level, because we want to, in our relationship with you, supporting good decision-making. We've got a booth here, if you've probably seen, and Michael and Deborah are there, and certainly go and see them and find out a little bit more about the organization. So we value BC, as I said. There are 1.9 million properties in BC that we value. We also value the property owners. There's 2.2 million property owners. This year we broke another level. $1.3 trillion is the total valuation in the province of British Columbia. And we serve 191 local governments and 88 First Nations. So what I'm going to do this morning is we're going to do a little quiz. So I want to get you involved in this. And we're going to start, the first question we're going to deal with is about the tax base in British Columbia in terms of how much taxes, the information that BC Assessment puts together ends up being paid annually. So is it $1 billion? Is it $3 billion? Is it $5 billion? Or is it $7 billion? And the hint here is it's got something to do with what's commonly a lucky number. So Who's for $1 billion, $3 billion, $5 billion, $7 billion? Oh, God, you guys are great. It is. It's $7 billion. That includes the money that goes to municipalities and regional districts. That's the largest share of it. Then there's school tax. Then rural area taxes that also go to the province. And then we provide assessments that are used by a number of special purpose bodies. So TransLink, BC Transit, Municipal Finance Authority has a small levy, and the BC Assessment Authority has a small levy. That's how we finance answers. But so for ourselves, we tax about $86 million of that $7 billion. So if you're got a kind of a business background, we're investing about $86-90 million to raise $1 billion in taxes every year. So keeping the quality of the role is really one thing that you'll hear a lot about. So question number two, this is the question that most of councils want to know. Certainly, their treasurers want to know, and that's what's the value of new construction every year? Because new construction is new money. So, we're all you've got the existing taxpayers out there. That money will be coming in. But what is the value of new construction? So it's new construction is like new developments, subdivisions, rezonings. So last year, going into this year's tax, what's the value of new construction? $7 billion, $16 billion, $20 billion, $24 billion. So my hint here is be optimistic, but not overly optimistic. So $7 billion, $16, do I hear 20? How about 24? So a few over here were for $20 billion, and that's the correct answer. $20 billion in new value created last year on the roll. And so this is what our staff spend a lot of time doing, is going out and valuing the new properties. Because the result for you is new tax dollars. So the next question is about, so what is $20 billion look like on the ground? So the next question is, what does it look like in terms of the size of a new city in BC that would be created that would have a value of $20 billion? So is it a city or town like Nelson? So it's as modest-sized, as you know, community in the Kootenays. Is it Surrey, second largest city in British Columbia? New Westminster, a middling-sized city. Or Hope, small town, the end of the Fraser Valley. So the hint here is this community that we're looking at is one of the first communities incorporated in British Columbia, and it's sometimes known as the Queen City. So is it Nelson? Surrey? New Westminster? Okay, you've got it. It's not Hope. So what we're dealing with here is really valuing some place like the size of New Westminster, similarly, or Victoria, or North Vancouver, all Port Coquitlam, all in that area. But of course, the other problem is all that value is not in one place. And that's one of the issues that the BC assessment has to deal with. We're valuing a very, as you know, diverse province. So we're valuing condos in the West End of Vancouver and farms in the Peace River. Doing major pulp mills, very specialized valuation. Or a corner store, railways, ferry terminals. So many of our staff are divided into teams that deal with these very specialized properties. It's interesting as well that some of the new products that we're developing is around condo valuation. And I've spent some time learning about this last couple of years. Shouldn't be a surprise, but views from condos are hugely big factor in their value, particularly in the urban areas down here in Vancouver. And you can't get in easily to all these condos to see what the view's like. So we've been working with partners in developing modeling, 3D modeling, so that we can actually now, rather than stand on the curb and look up at the 22nd floor and try to imagine what the view is, create a 3D model so you can go inside that apartment and see what the view of English Bay would be. It's tremendous technology. And why are we doing that? Because we want to provide the best quality assessments to the local governments. So who uses our data? This is the question four. So here's a number of bodies in British Columbia. BC Municipal Finance Authority and their AAA credit rating. Province of BC, property purchase tax. The regional districts, banks and credit unions. And then there could be a couple of combinations. And then all of the above. So I'm going to skip you and tell you the answer is all of the above. What's our relationship with Municipal Finance Authority? So the tax base of British Columbia is the underlying credit of the Municipal Finance Authority. If someone defaults, the taxpayers of British Columbia, the tax base of British Columbia, is what the creditors are saying. You know, they're good for it. And why is it important about BC assessment? Because we're independent. So if you go to some other jurisdictions, if you went to Calgary, Calgary has a finance department over here. It has an assessment division sort of on the next floor. They do their own assessments. So value, when rating agencies are looking at MFA, is there's a disconnect between the taxing authority and the assessment authority. Property purchase tax, maybe sometimes people might be trying to kind of do a little fiddle on the valuation when they sell a property. The government goes and looks at the assessment and says, yeah, that's reasonable. That's a reasonable selling price. Regional districts, you know, those of you on regional districts or involved in regional district budgeting, common way of distributing value, allocating value between functions, is to use assessment. It's independent. And so you'll see in many of the regional districts, they're using trusted third-party advice on distributing the allocations of different functions. It's probably a good little... And then banks and credit unions, they use our data for mortgage valuations. Many of them do. So, I mean, I just got... I'm going to skip through these, Nicola. Get to the next question, which is an interesting one. BC Assessment was formed in 1974. Before that time, you people here who are municipal councillors, you would have had an assessment department in your municipality. You did your own assessments up until 1974. And for small municipalities, it's the same story that MFA had. Municipalities were all out there trying to independently borrow money. They were all out there trying to do independent assessments. And so UBCM lobbied and convinced government that needed to replace this kind of diffuse system with a professional organization to create uniform assessments throughout the province. So when we were formed in 1974, we had 700 staff. And since then, you know, the province has grown a lot. We've added a lot more properties to the assessment role. So the question is, what's our staff now? Is it less than 700, so 685? Is it the same as it was in 74? Or is it grown to, say, 785 or 800? So let's go through A. Who thinks it's A? There's one person down here, a couple of people over there. B? A few more at B. C? A few people there. D? Well, the answer is really quite simple. It's lower than it was 40 years ago. Not a lot, not by a lot, but certainly when you... We started out, we were valuing 880,000 properties. We're now valuing over 2 million properties, and we're doing it with a handful less staff. And we've done that because of leveraging technology. It's a wonderful story about leveraging technology. And I'd urge you, if you want to go out and talk to the staff, we have a program called Desktop Review, and it's changed the way you deploy assessors. So... back in the old days, assessors went out in a car, say, to a residential property, and they got out a tape measure, and they started measuring things, and they wrote that all down, took it back to the office, put it in the system. Today, most of the reevaluations, no one goes to the property. We use all aerial photographs, street photographs, take pictures of... house from this side, this side, this side, this side, from this side, and a street front view. And the measurements can be done on the desktop to the accuracy of 6 inches. So what's been the result? An assessor that was going out to properties maybe could do 10 properties a day. Doing it on the desktop, they can do 30 a day. So it's really revolutionized the way work is done. The desktop review, people said, well, where did that name come from? Well, it's done on the desk. It's now spread throughout North America and the other jurisdictions. They all call it desktop review. So another way of looking at that staffing issue is the top line there is the growth of folios since 1990. The blue line at the bottom is the growth of staff. The little blip there for you buffs about history was what was called core review when the Liberal government came in the 2001, where they kind of put everything on hold until they figured out the lay of the land. Our staff went down, the quality of the role went down, and so we built the staff back up after the core review was over. So we're getting along to question number 6, only a couple more to go. And this is the average cost to value a residential property. So this is what the cost to the taxpayer is. And you'll maybe remember when you get your tax notice every year, there's all the municipal, there's the school district and that, and somewhere down there in there, there's BC assessment. So that's what we're talking about here. So is it nothing? It's paid for by somebody else? Then $25, $30, or $40. So, who's for A? Who's for B? A few hands there. C? D? Okay, and a lot of people are undecided there. So the answer is $30. So it's going to be a whole lot more if you've got a place in Shaughnessy. It's going to be a whole lot less if you've got a house in, say, Hope or Telcor or something like that. It all depends on the value of the property. But it's the $30 is the average. Just want to mention that we haven't changed our tax rate that we charge for the last 3 years. So we've been zero. So we've been trying to keep that number, and that's our guarantee. We have to guarantee to the province that we'll maintain the tax on a residential property this year to what people paid last year. Just a couple of things about BC assessment that go along with the value. We could pay a lot less, but that's where we have to do this balancing role between role quality and the cost of doing it. So we could probably do it for half that amount of money, but then the impact would be on you in this room because the quality of the role wouldn't be up to what we think it should be. I think one thing we don't do well in British Columbia is recognize the value of the institutions that we've put together, what we call the collaborative institutions like the Municipal Finance Authority, like the MIA, like the Local Government Leadership Academy, and like BC Assessment Authority. We've developed really excellent models of collaboration that are very cost effective. So in North America, BC Assessment is the number one rated assessment authority. Worldwide, we're number 2. For some reason, we got beat out by Singapore. But anyway, that's the way the numbers come out. So we're down to our last question. And that's, so after all this, what do taxpayers think about our values? So how many, what do property owners in British Columbia believe or at least accept in the accuracy of their property assessment? So is it maybe about half of them, say 52%, might be kind of a low C rating for us. 67%, maybe a little higher. 89%, now that's getting up there. 98. Oh, is that a little over the top? So, here you go. Because you talk to your constituents. You probably even have your own ideas about accuracy. So, who thinks it's A? No one. Oh, one here. Gosh, I'm going to have a talk with you. How about B? A couple of takers there. C? Yeah, quite a few there. D? Well, it's interesting. It's D. And the measure we're using there, we do two kind of measurements. The first of all, what we're measuring there is how many people accept their valuation without appeal. So, you know, we're in that period right now of appeals. So 98% of the people don't appeal their assessment. We also do surveys, so we've got some other data over on when we talk to people, what they have to say. But, you know, some of the things that I think aren't known is what we're doing to try to increase people's satisfaction. So how many of you have heard about eValue BC? So those of you who have, go to the booth and ask about eValue BC. Put in your street address or whatever, and your value will pop up on the screen. There'll be a picture of your house there. And you can then go and bring up a little map behind it, and you can see what all your neighbors' valuations are. You can click on their property, see how many bedrooms they have, what their valuation is. Go a little down the street, see what that property is valued at. You can also get sales. Say, well, you know, what are the sales in this area? So you can ask, and it'll bring up examples of properties. So what it has actually started to do in this period that we're in January, is transform again the way people want to seek out clarification about their value. So they go on to eValue. The eValue valuations this year are triple what they were last year. And for our benefit, we don't get phone calls. People say, go on there, and well, I guess it's reasonable. So I won't phone them up and ask them why. You still do that. We also do a number of things. You know, in the old days, you waited until you got the envelope in the mail, you opened it up and looked at it and said, oh, Jesus. So if it's going to be one of those reactions, anything over 15%, we'll send you a letter in November saying there's a surprise coming. And we don't want you to be surprised on January the 4th. We've also tried to enhance the phone messages. We're still there. You can still actually come into a BC Assessment office and talk to a staff, but you can also phone. And they have quite a marvelous phone system. You don't know whether your phone call is being picked up. If you lived in Victoria, is it being picked up in Victoria, or is it being picked up in the office in Dawson Creek? Because we'll ask you for your property address or whatever. When the guy or gal in Dawson Creek picks up the phone, your folio is right there in front of them. And they'll try to answer your questions. If not, they'll get someone to call you back. So here's the end. Oops. So what do local governments, here's a sample of things that we provide you. This isn't a question that I will just answer. I mean, obviously, it's the tax base of British Columbia. Hopefully, a very uniform, very accurate tax base. We also finance the appeal system, taxpayers of British Columbia finance the appeal system. Certainly, it's not something that municipalities have to worry about. We'll provide you timely notice of big changes. So again, the rule, one of our operating principles is no surprises. We'd like to think that our staff are there for you. If you have any time concerns, phone up the assessor in your area, and they will come and meet with your council or regional board. That's a guarantee. We provide this early notice of non-market changes. So We talked a bit about the non-market change and how big it is to your budgeting process. We don't want you to wait to January when the new rolls released. We'll come and tell you in October, early in the fall, saying, you know, it looks like you're going to get this added tax base, so you can put that as a kind of pencil that into your budget. We do some things here. We're doing with a number of other agencies and utilities, what we call Parcel Map BC. It'll be the first quality throughout British Columbia electronic map of properties. And we know you've got information. We'd like to get that information, so we've got a grant program that will help you put the information into a form that you can transfer it into the parcel map. And the product that we developed in the last couple of years for the interest regional districts is, you know, that we do service area boundaries for regional districts. So if you've got a fire service area or you've got a water service area, there are, I think, 2,500 service areas in British Columbia and regional districts. And those boundaries were kind of hit and miss. So we digitized all the boundaries, put them all up on the web. You can go in if you're a regional district and say, I think we should check and just make sure we've got people paying for the service that should be paying for the service. And maybe we've got some people who are paying and shouldn't be in the service area. And finally, data advice. It's the kind of technical term for how we take all that property information and transfer it over to your systems. And it used to be kind of, there was only one choice. We'd give it to you the way we wanted to give it to you. And so we've put in some ways now saying, you know, we can help them slice and dice that if you want it in different ways. So I'd like to thank you very much for your time. We're really happy to be able to continue to support Local Government Leadership Academy. We value British Columbians, we value the properties, but we also value the relationships. Relationships are really important to us. The relationships that we have with municipalities, with property owners, and other agencies. And if you have any questions, please visit us at your booth, and I hope you enjoyed the rest of your conference.
Thank you very much, Richard. That was lovely to see you back, and thank you for all that information, and thank you for the ongoing support BC Assessment provides to the Local Government Leadership Academy.